Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league home run with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Rowe does over the middle.
There you go!
Will McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should.
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side to the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot, and Gretzky in 3-0. Los Angeles, Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. Glad to have you on board, coming to you from the Superstore tonight. Glad to be back in the saddle. Thanks to Jim Cushlin, who filled in Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday last week. I was up north. Broadcasting a little hockey in the Canadian Hockey League. I think I mentioned Wednesday my biggest challenge was going to be finding that tremendous Ohio State-Penn State matchup some 7 hours north of Monroe, Michigan here in Canada. A lot of hockey action, a lot of curling, a lot of things on TV up there. Canadian Football League found it and was able to watch the first half on the team bus. We have satellite in the hotel, believe it or not, Saturday that we checked into late Saturday afternoon. Did not play again until Sunday, had the game. So I was able to watch that classic between the Buckeyes and Penn State. We'll talk about that at 5:35 tonight. Nick Petrovich will join us, Toledo Blade beat writer. He was in Columbus. Unbelievable game. I know everybody's talking about JT Barrett and his 16-for-16 finish in that game as the Buckeyes outscored Penn State 19-3 in the fourth quarter. To me, the other side of this thing was the way the Ohio State Buckeyes defense played when they had to. Absolutely outstanding. Stunning, stunning game down in Columbus. Hats off to the Buckeyes, fighting back from adversity. You know, somebody said to me, a Canadian, when we were on the bus, it was surprised that the Ohio State Buckeyes were favored by 6.5, 7 points in that game. Really, I thought Ohio State moved the football up and down the field. If it wasn't for their special teams, they really would have had a situation, you know, where they are out in front big and out in front in that game, much of it. But they could not stop the kickoff team for Penn State. They returned the opening kickoff 97 yards, also get another one for 60 yards that led to a score. But what a phenomenal finish. Buckeyes win it 39-38. Lions last night, well, unbelievable. In the red zone 5 times, inside the 10-yard line 4 times, and can't get it in the end zone in a night that Roethlisberger and Pittsburgh really were not at their best. The Lions just could not do anything inside the red zone. I wasn't big on some of the calls. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to throw this all on the running backs. The Buckeyes basically playing with an offensive line that half the guys nobody's ever heard of. But you know what? There was a lot of running backs available this year for the Detroit Lions, including University of Toledo running back Kareem Hunt. And they passed on all of them. Lions did not draft a running back this year. And I just thought they have guys that are accelerating like their rear ends on fire up to the line. Nobody has any patience. Nobody looking for a hole. They just run as hard as they can into somebody and hope something good's going to happen. Got to have some vision. You got to have some lateral movement. I don't see that out of the Lions running back. A lot of other things went on in that game. That certainly wasn't the whole story, but something that I saw as well. Did you ever have somebody in baseball tell you got to play 27 outs? Man, that's what's happening in postseason baseball this year. You better play a full game. What a remarkable game last night. Houston wins it 13-12. They lead the series 3-2. Justin Verlander tomorrow night has a chance to close that one out. Compelling, compelling stuff. I did not see the end of the game. I saw the highlights this morning. But as I was leaving for the Monroe Superstore today, of course, this show always driven by the Low Payment Gang, Ralph Mahalik, I did DVR the last portion of the game. So tonight I'm going to watch the last couple innings. Saw the box score, saw the highlights. Want to see it real game time action on MLB when I get home tonight. I got to tell you, Hugh Jackson, since he has taken over, the Browns have lost 34 of 36 games. I have no idea what he's doing there. I really don't. And he comes out with a statement today that, you know, ownership has a lot of faith in him. He's not worried about it. He should be worried. He's a guy that should be coaching. Like, you know, his last diagram of a player, his last conversation with one of his coordinators might be his last. He's got, you ask teams to play desperate. You ask teams to, you know, play on the edge and play, you know, for their lives and, or, you know, their job's going to be in jeopardy. This guy's got to stop coaching like this and saying, well, you know, I think my job's in good shape. I would enjoy it. He said, absolutely, I should be in trouble. I would enjoy that. Brown's just continuing to go south. You know, this JT Barrett thing, too, in Ohio State, you know, really for me, it doesn't, you know, really matter. Now, how many records he has in the Big Ten and Ohio State records that he has set, you know, how much he is respected in that locker room at Ohio State. There was still a large portion of Ohio State fans, you know, that just didn't trust him. And maybe after this game against Penn State, that will change a little bit as well. Rockets waiting for Northern Illinois, of course, that's coming up. Rockets did receive 19 votes in the AP for the top 25. How about this? Only South Florida and Michigan ahead of the University of Toledo Rockets to get into the top 25. And I'll tell you what, the way Michigan's playing and the way the Rockets are playing right now, I'd probably take the Rockets in that game as well. Michigan struggles against Rutgers. Ohio State wins big. And, of course, the Rockets win big, 58-17. So that'll do it on the little weekend recap. Baseball, football, pro, college, all that. This is Drive Time. It's driven by the Low Payment King, where the Halloween specials start with a $158 36-month lease, 2017 Ram 1500 Express Crew, 4x4, $158 a month, 36-month lease. As always, visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Also, take a look at the certified pre-owned roster of vehicles that we have here on lot. Come up and see one of the great sales associates today. Back with Sean Bolesian, talking Lions. This is Drive Time.
It's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, glad to have you back. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. This is Drive Time. Little David Bowie for you there, Panic in Detroit. Glad to have you on board. Nick Petrovich will join us at 5:35 tonight. Toledo Blade beat writer, Ohio State Buckeyes. He was in Columbus for that scene on Saturday, the big 39-38 win over Penn State. As you know, this is an Ohio State Buckeye radio network station. We are also a part of the Detroit Lions radio network, and a member of their broadcast crew joins us now. Knows a lot about Toledo, this guy. Sean Bolesian joins us here on Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Hello, Sean. How are you?
Great, Mike. How about yourself, buddy?
Very good. Thanks a lot, as always, for taking the time. It is appreciated, believe me. Hey, wasn't able to watch the second half of the game last night. Basically was doing something you know a little bit about, coming back from that northern swing in the Canadian Hockey League, the OHL, on a bus that had satellite television. We were clicking back and forth between the World Series, of course, and the Detroit Lions, but had a chance to listen to the Detroit Lions radio network the second half last night. And, you know, I had a thought in this one, and I think you'll concur, but I want to get your thoughts on this. It was a Detroit Lions team the last year and a half that basically lived on last-second drives to win a lot of football games. And I'm going to tell you what, as exciting as that is, and as much as that says about Matt Stafford, you don't want to live like that. And I think, again, last night it showed a little bit where the Detroit Lions just, you know, didn't get a lot of things done, especially in the red zone, had a chance at the end. But you don't play football like that year after year where it's coming down to your last drive.
No doubt about it. I mean, a nail on top of the head, Mike. And you know what it reminded me of, too? I know you said you didn't get a chance to see a lot in the second half. It reminded me of that college football team that runs the spread offense. And my goodness, they look great between the 20s, going up and down the field and putting up big numbers in the passing game. And then it's almost like there's this mysterious, invisible wall once they get inside the 10 or inside the 5 even, and they're just not able to punch the ball in the end zone. And that's what you had yesterday. It really was. And, you know, I'll go back to your initial statement. Look, you're living dangerously. We all enjoy it in the moment, no doubt about it. But the difference right now, I think, between a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers and a team like the Detroit Lions, the Pittsburgh Steelers are getting that big play when they have to get it. And the Lions aren't getting that big play right now. For a myriad of reasons, they're not finding a way to get that big play.
Again, talking to Sean Bolesian, member of the Detroit Lions radio network. Hey, speaking of the Steelers, Sean, from what I saw in the highlights today as well, basically a night that they tried to shoot themselves in the foot throughout the evening as well. I mean, they were ready to be had last night. I had the game really thinking about it going into the week, and Pittsburgh was playing pretty well. Detroit still banged up a little bit, and I said, you know what, I think Pittsburgh's going to win this game. I looked at the rest of the Lions' schedule and said, you know what, probably not going to win this one, but things going in the right direction after this. But Pittsburgh looked like they didn't want the game either.
No, they didn't. They kept handing the ball. I mean, literally, they kept handing the ball back to the Lions and saying, really, we don't want this game. We want you to take it. I mean, that was, I mean, anybody that was there kind of had that feeling. This was one of those things when you look back, you know, sometimes I jokingly refer to myself as a recovering stataholic. And what I mean is you can know every stat there is, and sometimes the numbers don't tell the story. And what I mean by that, Mike, is if you told me that the Lions would hold Antonio Brown to 70 yards and no score, if you told me that they would hold Le'Veon Bell to a total of 81 yards and just one score, you put those things together, I'm thinking to myself, the Lions win that game by a couple touchdowns. And it wasn't to be, because they couldn't capitalize on the opportunities. The flip of the field at the end of the first half is a great example. It looked like the Steelers are at least going in for 3, maybe 7, and Le'Veon fumbles, Lions go the other way, and, you know, only get a field goal out of it. But that was, how many times did you say that? Only get a field goal about it. And, of course, as you can probably imagine, and I know you guys will be debating this, I'm sure at some point in time during the show, a lot of debate going on in Detroit right now about whether or not you kick the field goal or go for it on fourth down. And, you know, to me, Mike, when you have an opportunity to take a lead, you just take the lead. You know, you've got arguably the best kicker in the game. That's a gimme field goal. So a lot of people are debating that. A lot of people are talking about the play selection as well, especially in close. This is one of those times where I heard David Bowie bringing us in, and there's a little bit of a panic in Detroit. I think some fans are upset today, no doubt about that.
Well, we had Mr. Bowie and his guitar player, Ariel Bender, in out of that break on design. Believe me, no doubt about it. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. My name is Mike Miller. You know, I kind of take the other side of this. I think you got the highest paid quarterback in the league. I think I go for it at that point. You're playing Pittsburgh. Listen, this could be debated either way. I'm on the other side of this. But what you said, Sean Bolesian, right there to me was I didn't like the play selection down there a couple of times. Listen, you have a bunch of offensive tackles in there that, you know, listen, this is a Band-Aid situation right now. He's cold. He comes off the bench. I mean, listen, you had two drop touchdown passes. Was it Fells, the tight end, and Jones, the other one, hits him right in the melon. So we could talk about Matt Stafford. His numbers inside the red zone weren't great, but drop passes again. Ebron drop passes as well early in the game. So I know Stafford and Jim Caldwell getting some heat on play selection. But, you know, you're a tight end. You had your Fells had his hand on the ball, two hands on the ball. Bring it down, get it in the body, and hold on to it. I mean, that's what happens in the National Football League. And the other one, he got dotted right in the face. Was that T.J. Jones?
Yep. Yep. And unfortunately, if it's not one thing, it's another. And I concur with you. I'm not raising the red flag yet. I'm not firing off the siren warning or anything like that. I think it's way too early in the season. Obviously, in a perfect world, you would get Taylor Decker back. I mean, as soon as next week. It appears that might not be the case now. Suddenly, they aren't as optimistic sounding. I mean, the little information that you're going to get, you'd like to get healthy, but I still want to see this offensive line as designed. I think that was one thing that Bob Quinn did in the offseason. You go out and get T.J. Lang, and you add him to what you already have there, and I think this has the potential for being a good line. You bring something up to me, Mike. I mean, that was part of the head-scratcher. Not only are you trying to run the ball down near the goal line, but you're going over the right side of the line, which is working with a guy that literally was added to the lineup this week. You know, and those are the things that frustrate you. And I think if we give Jim Bob Cooter credit, which we should, if we give him credit for using what he had at his disposal and using the strengths of Matthew Stafford as opposed to his predecessor, who tried to make Stafford and the Lions fit his system. I think that was brilliant for Jim Bob Cooter to do that. So we have to give him credit for that. Now, we also have to say, okay, now you have to find a way with what you have at your disposal. It's not a great hand, but it's a hand that you have to play nonetheless. So, you know, this is something where there's going to be a lot of scrutiny on Coach Caldwell. There's going to be a lot of scrutiny on Jim Bob Cooter. And that's the nature of the beast. You win a couple games in a row, starting with a big one in Lambeau, and I think everybody will forget about, you know, this part of the season and the struggles the last few weeks.
Hey, you're a statsaholic, recovering, as you said. Tell me what this 9-7 you would guess get the Lions in?
I think so. Yeah, I really do. I mean, let's be honest that, you know, right now the Vikings, you're going to need a little help because I know a lot of people are kind of hoping what happened last year happens again. I'm not so sure. They're getting it done on both sides of the ball right now, Mike. And, you know, last year it was predominantly a defense that got them off to that start. Right now they're getting more out of their offense. I mean, they really are. They're getting a little bit out of the passing game. I think, you know, putting Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon in have really helped the running game. I mean, after the loss of Dalvin Cook, I mean, they've really gone in and done the job. I would love to believe in a perfect world that 9-7 might win the division, but I'm not sure that's the case. I mean, that's even taking into consideration the Vikings have to come here on Thanksgiving. You know, that's just three losses there. So I'm not sure 9-7 wins the division, but it might get you in the playoffs. This is what the league wanted. They wanted the parity. They wanted, you know, things to be, I guess, as close to even as humanly possible. And with that, I think sometimes comes a slew of 9-7 and dare I say even some 8-8 teams in the past that made the playoffs.
No question about it. Sean Belizean joins us here on Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King. Ralph Mahalik, this is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, home of the Detroit Lions, home of the Ohio State Buckeyes, home of the University of Michigan Wolverines, and one of our sister stations, 98.3 Nash Icon. Glad to have you on board, everybody. All of our callers join us, as always, in the Vito's Pizza phone line. How about this? A great special through the 31st of this month. Go to any of the Vito locations, large barbecue chicken pizza, $11, no coupon needed. Hey, you mentioned running back, Sean, and the Lions opted not to take any running backs in the draft in the early portion anyways. And, you know, I Googled today rookie running backs in the National Football League. Listen, I'm not trying to be a coach. I'm not trying to be a Jim Bob. I'm not trying to be a John. I'm not trying to be any type of Bob. But I got an observation here on some highlights of the Lions that I saw this morning on the NFL Network. And I see the Detroit Lions running backs basically getting the ball, especially inside the five-yard line, putting their head down, you know, basically like their rear end's on fire and crashing into the line. And you know what? Your great running backs, basically that vision and that first step, a little bit of patience, where to go. Then I started looking at that list, and a guy course, that played his college football pretty close to here. Kareem Hunt, Christian McCaffrey, of course, Carolina. You mentioned Delvin Cook, Joe Mixon. Everybody knows about the issues there. But I'm wondering about the running backs. Abdullah, of course, everybody has their fingers crossed. Tell me about where you stand with that, where the Lions stand with it. And the only reason this question's being asked, or I'm asking it, five times within the red zone and four times within the 8-yard line. Tell me a little bit about that. Listen, the offensive line's getting a lot of scrutiny here, Sean Belisian. How about the running backs looking for a little daylight and being a little bit more patient?
Mike, you know, I like what Bob Quinn has done so far because I think there are a couple things that come into play. You know, years and years and years of bad drafts, you're not going to fix it overnight. That's just the way it is. And you know, it's still early to attach a grade to it. I think draft grades are so silly at this point in time. You have to let some things play off everything. But right now, they're getting some value from the draft. If I had to nitpick about last year's draft, it would have been exactly what you said. And I categorize it just like that. I would call it nitpicking because you understand the reason to draft, you know, the position and everything. I thought personally yesterday to nitpick again, if you're going to find yourself in that you know, in tight situation, I think a guy like Zach Zenner might be able to help you out. Now, I think some Lion fans have turned Zach Zenner into some kind of hybrid of Tony Dorsett and Billy Sims and Barry Sanders and everything. You know, they've really elevated him to this all type of position and everything. But Zach Zenner's a good hard runner, and I think Zach Zenner's the type of guy that, you know, if you need that one hard yard, I think that's the guy that I might like to carry the ball. But you're right. I think there was some second guessing, yours truly included, about the Lions' decision not to go after another running back. You know, I wasn't even saying do it early. You know, maybe take a flyer on a guy in perhaps the second round, the third round, whatever the case may be. But yeah, right now, getting the tough yard remains a problem with this team. I mean, that's just the problem. And that's what separates a guy like Le'Veon Bell, because if you want the explosiveness, if you want a guy that comes out of the backfield, if you want a guy that can get the tough yard, you've got it all in one. And with the Lions right now, unfortunately, there are a few guys that are wearing those hats. I'll tell you this much. I don't think Theo Riddick gets enough credit for his run ability as well. I'm not saying that he's a 1A. Certainly he's a running back by committee, and that seems to be the norm in the National Football League today. But quite frankly, Mike, I don't think that Theo quite gets the credit that he deserves for his running ability. And if this is the path that we're going to go down, I don't know, maybe you think about giving Theo the ball a little bit more.
No, you know what? You just mentioned something there, and I got to backpedal from my statement a little bit. He is a guy that has some patience and looks for a little room. You know, then the debate comes up when you're down, when you're inside the 2 or the 1 yard line. Do you need somebody like that, or somebody just to bust his way in? Hey, trade deadline, Sean Belisian's coming up. Before I let you go, a lot of things are floating around out there. The name Calvin Johnson, Megatron, coming up again as possible trade bait. Talk about that a little bit, and do you expect the Lions to do anything via trade coming up, the trade deadline on Tuesday?
Isn't it amazing, Mike? I mean, the NHL trade line for years has been a wondrous time. The NFL trade line for years meant nothing, and now suddenly you are getting some movement. Not a lot, but you're getting some movement. Eric Ebron's name has been thrown out there as well. I personally, Mike, I think that Eric Ebron is a candidate for a change of scenery. I think it's beyond repair here. I think the damage is done off the field as well. I mean, anytime the guy does anything, there's a Bronx cheer, there's a boo, whatever the case may be. He isn't handling it very well. It might be a time of change of scenery. The Calvin Johnson thing is interesting because I don't think Calvin Johnson wants to play. That seems to be the consensus. Calvin Johnson doesn't want to play. Of course, there were those reports and that now infamous interview in Italy where he talked about the losing bogged him down, and there was some speculation that, oh, wouldn't he be great with the Raiders? Well, right now the Raiders are struggling. The latest that you heard today, I'm sure you've heard it, is allegedly the Eagles have been calling the Lions a lot. I'll say this, Mike. You know, I know a lot of people sit back and say, well, forget Calvin. He left us. To me, I think that's absolutely the get something for something you don't have anyway. You don't have Calvin Johnson. If Calvin Johnson comes back, he's not coming back as a Detroit Lion. So if somebody says to me, we'll give you a third-round pick for his rights, you leap for it. I mean, you absolutely leap for it. This isn't about punishing him. It's about bettering your team. And to me, that's somebody giving you a third-round pick for nothing because you don't have Calvin Johnson anyway. But I got to be honest with you. I don't think that Calvin wants to play.
No, and you know what? I think Bob Quinn would think exactly the same way. Get something for him. I don't think you'd get much for Eric Ebron, to be quite honest with you, if you're getting a third-rounder for Calvin. And this isn't to degrade the guy, but I just don't think there's anything out there that a lot of teams would be willing to give up to help the Detroit Lions. Sean Belizean joins us here in Drive Time. Sean, before I let you go, anything that I missed here you think was interesting about last night's game, the loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, or moving forward you could share with our listeners here in Northwest Ohio?
One of the interesting things, maybe you guys heard it, maybe you didn't, is, you know, some of the Steelers are kind of complaining about the Lions being dirty on the defensive line. I mean, you know, frustrations definitely got the best of the defense in the second half of that game. Late, of course, as you know, Robinson was ejected and everything. That's the first time I've heard dirty attached to it. I think they play fierce. I think that's one thing that, you know, they've done the past few years. That's a fierce defense. I haven't heard the D word attached to it. So let's see if they're on notice right now. That all kind of went away when Ndamukong Suh left. And so to hear that kind of rear its head last night, that's going to be something to watch in the next couple of weeks to see if, you know, maybe the Lions are put on notice that the league is watching them.
Great contribution as always, Sean. Good hearing your voice. Thanks a lot. Somewhere down the road, we'll reach out again. Appreciate it.
Anytime, my friend.
That's Sean Belizean, member of the Detroit Lions Radio Network. We are a member of the Detroit Lions Radio Network. Glad to have you on board. TAS Electronics, update right around the corner. How about this? 4-star window tint professionally installed in your vehicle for just $149. That's at TAS Electronics. All the guests on the Drive Time, of course, appear via the Vito's phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. TAS Electronics update. Up after this, Ohio State football talk right around the corner. This is Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
The cure for annoying traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. As always, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Talk Detroit Lions in the early portion of the show. As always, a show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. All of our guests appear on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Sean Belizean again joined us at 5:15 tonight to talk Lions. Nick Petrovich was in Columbus for that wild one on Saturday as the Ohio State Buckeyes beat Penn State by a score of 39-38. Nick, as always, thank you very much for taking the time. Appreciate it. Were you in Columbus today? I'm guessing you probably were. And what did Urban have to say?
Yeah, he pretty much went off about the Penn State game once again, saying that, you know, it was one of the best performances that he'd seen out of JT Barrett. Still some things to correct, most notably the kickoff coverage, which continues to be their bugaboo. Let Saquon Barkley loose in the very first play of the game. That's still something that they're working on. But otherwise, they're in about as good a shape as you could have hoped after the Oklahoma game. They're ranked third in the CFP rankings tomorrow. I assume they will probably be third or fourth at worst. And everything in front of them still.
Oh, good stuff. I mean, geez, I got to tell you, that had to be something else covering that. I was in northern Canada doing a hockey game and found a television that, you know, didn't have curling on her hockey and was able to watch the second half of that game. Hey, you mentioned Barkley, you know, as electric as he is, second half, minus 3 yards on 14 carries. And I know they're getting some credit, but the thing that amazed me, and I guess I shouldn't be amazed, was the way the Ohio State Buckeyes' defensive side of the ball stepped up in the second half.
For sure. I mean, Barrett is going to get a ton of credit for this game and deservedly so, but you really can't overlook particularly what the defensive line did in that game. If you look at pretty much all of the meaningful snaps in the third and fourth quarter, the defensive line was winning the line of scrimmage. Nick Bosa by himself had 7 quarterback pressures. They were just all over the place. And then even with Penn State getting as good a field position as they did to end the game, defensive line just totally overwhelmed them. Got a sack of McSorley, and you know he was running for his life for most of that second half. So when you look at the anatomy of that comeback, they played a huge role in it.
Hey, you know something else? And I was with a bunch of coaches that coach another sport watching the second half of this game. Nick Petrovis joins us here on Drive Time on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Drive Time's driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mihalik. And you see this a lot in hockey at every level. I mean, not to major swings or major extremes, Nick, but third period's very important. It's always a very easy identifiable thing when you can tell what team is in better shape. And that's one thing that I thought in the fourth quarter where the Ohio State Buckeyes outscored Penn State 19-3, especially on both the offensive and defensive line for the Buckeyes. Did conditioning come up at all in the post-game comments, or did Urban say anything? Now, listen, I actually thought Ohio State looked like they were in better shape. Penn State could have been bagged by that point, but conditioning is something that I didn't see mentioned or written about when you have a fourth quarter like that.
No, he mentioned it in passing about the defensive line. Specifically, they have so many kids that are good at the defensive line. They're not getting burned out whatsoever. I mean, you have, you know, six, seven, eight guys that are playing 30 to 35 snaps each, and you stay fresh that way. And Urban Meyer said today that, you know, when you have a system like they have and you have the kids that are good enough to do it, guys are as fresh in the fourth quarter as they are in the first. And I thought that played a huge difference. I mean, you're not – left tackle and right tackle are not positions that you're subbing out of the game. And regardless of who Ohio State's playing, those two kids are blocking ends that are going to play in the NFL. That had a huge – that had a huge result in what ended up happening. And they just needed their break at some point. As poorly as they had played for much of that game, they just needed their break. And once they got the blocked punt, it seemed like everything went their way.
You take us inside here a little bit. After the game, Penn State, when they addressed the media, I mean, I listen, I tell people all the time, there's only three teams I root for being in this business. I'm a Lions fan, a Buckeye fan, and a Detroit Tiger fan. From the Penn State side of things, obviously downtrodden and extremely disappointed, I'm sure, if you were in the Penn State room or had a chance to listen to their coaching staff after the game. Can you shed any light on that?
They pretty much said that they feel that they're not writing themselves off, but I have to believe that deep down they know what probably happened. Even if Ohio State loses the game here, it's likely that any tiebreaker scenario is going to go to Ohio State now that the head-to-head is theirs. And it's not going to be the three-way tie potential that we had last year. Who knows what's going to happen with Michigan State? They just got beat by Northwestern and then play Ohio State this weekend. So even in the scenario where both teams have one loss in the Big Ten, Ohio State is still the one going to the Big Ten championship game. And Penn State's resume out of conference isn't anything close to what Ohio State's was last year. So the likelihood that the roles will reverse and they would go to the playoff as opposed to the Big Ten champion doesn't really seem realistic. The only way that they probably get in is if Ohio State loses to, you know, Iowa or Michigan State, and then again to Michigan.
All right, Nick, good stuff. Appreciate you coming on as always. Did I miss anything? Anything else important that came out of Columbus today you'd like to touch on?
I think the other thing is maybe at Iowa they might not be without Paris Campbell, who went in the last week's game leading them in receptions and is also their kick returner. They don't know. They didn't disclose anyway what's wrong with him. He got carted off and didn't come back. I don't know if he'll play this week. Meyer said questionable, but that's something to watch long term.
Good stuff, Nick. Appreciate you coming on. Enjoyed your story today. Somewhere down the road, we'll touch base again.
Thanks, Mike.
Nick Petrovic, Toledo Blade beat writer, Ohio State Buckeyes. Back with more after this timeout. This is Drive Time.